Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Four. Look at the calendar. 9/29/21. Hope everybody out there is doing well. I am your hostess with the mostest. Not feeling the mostest, but I got something close to it. Dave Atwell coming to you this evening from Jacksonville, North Carolina, where the weather tonight, believe it or not, is actually pretty damn fair. There's a low 70s, decent little breeze blowing. Not a bad evening out here. Got torches lit so the mosquitoes don't carry me off. But hoping everybody out there is doing well. And before I introduce our esteemed panel, we're adding a little thing this evening. Want to throw out there, and we'll repeat this at the end of the episode, of course. But it kind of dawned on me that we don't have a way to hear back from anybody. So, in the event that you'd like to send us a message here, Pop Culture Stars, all you have to do is email popculturestars@outlook.com and let us know what you think. And we'd love to hear from everybody. Doesn't matter where you're at. Even if you're from Great Britain with the old salty British lady, feel free to call in. Now, I will say this. In the event that you have want to let us know that we won free Amazon gift cards, or perhaps you're a down-on-the-luck prince from Mumbai or something like that, don't worry about emailing us. I'm sure we'll get plenty of those along the way. But nevertheless, we'd like to hear from you out there in the universe, popculturestars@outlook.com. So moving on to the esteemed panel. Tonight, we're going to move up to Indianapolis and introduce my good brother, Tim. What is going on this evening?
Not a whole lot. Glad to be here. It's a pretty mild night here up in Westfield, just north of Indy, and I think we're going to have some pretty decent weather for the rest of the week. And I don't know, but sure as you know what, it's going to get pretty damn cold pretty damn fast. So I'm outside enjoying it while I can. And I'm looking forward to a great show. So on to the next one.
Ouch. Yo, it's funny you mentioned about the cold sneaking up. Now with me shaving my head these days, I actually this weekend went into the closet and pulled all my toboggans out and washed them and dried them. So I had them on hand because you know darn full and well that first cold morning it's going to sneak up on you. I'm going to walk out there with my head looking like a 75-watt light bulb, and it's going to be, uh-oh. So,
it's like the part where Jim Gaffigan, he's got, I don't know which one of his specials that's in, but he talks about people from the Midwest and how they're surprised every year when it gets cold out. It'll be October, and he walks out and goes, huh, it's cold out. What is this, every year now?
What's that doing? Hey, speaking of the Midwest, before I introduce our anchor man. The T-Mobile commercials that you know, when they show the coverage, they show the map, and you know, everybody talks about what the coverage. Next time you see that commercial, take a look at the map. You ever notice that there's a hole in the middle of it in the shape of Nebraska?
I don't know.
So, I mean, it's almost
take a look
like,
at it,
you know, yeah, I mean, it's almost like T-Mobile just totally throws the finger to Nebraska or something. It's like, excuse me, I'm like, the hell's up with Nebraska? And, I mean, I don't know if it's just coincidence that it's that shape, but it's right there in the middle of the country, and it's shaped just like damn Nebraska. And I'm like, damn, that's cold, man. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, we have T-Mobile now because we used to have Sprint, and they either did a merge or T-Mobile bought them out. I'm not really sure what's going on because we're still seeing Sprint commercials. But the service didn't get any better, I'll tell you that. And then they made me change my SIM card, and I don't know what the hell that was supposed to do for me, but whatever. I'm still paying the same amount, so I guess I don't care.
Man, I don't even want to hear that SIM card stuff.
Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have said anything about SIM cards. I'm sorry, Todd. I should have just kept my mouth shut.
So, speaking of SIM cards.
I feel our first tangent coming on.
I don't know how SIM cards would segue into my introduction to my Anchorman, but nevertheless, use your imagination, damn it. I'm going to move on. Todd, what's going on this evening, brother? You doing all right?
Yeah, sure. I'm doing outstanding supernatural and glorious to the SIM card and be here. Just, man, things are going on just all over the place. And Jim ain't kidding. It's like a beautiful freaking evening up here in the Midwest. I'll take it. Yeah, I would. I did kind of give us a subject for the night and stuff, but, man. No, you know what? I'm going to behave. I'm going to be nice because it would be like, it's bad form, sir, to start the show with a rant. So I'm not going to say anything about a certain provider. Their goal to provide SIM cards to people to get them up to 5G and not working in particular with the certain series of phones. And my wife now has a new provider, and I suspect somewhere around a month from now I will too. Just saying. Other than that, it's all Skittles and beer.
We laugh with you, Todd, not at you.
Yes.
No, well, I already know you rap bastards are like better him than I.
Well, that's the 5G conspiracy thing right there, man. Isn't that how 5G is supposed to be taking over the world or something to that effect?
Yeah,
something
like that. Yeah, I've seen some videos.
I mean, if it is, you got to be able to get a decent reception to start with. As a matter of fact,
right.
I had made the comment to Rob the other night. Our fantastic Spectrum internet was going in and out, in and out, in and out, kept having to reset the modem and that kind of crap. And I told Rob, I says, they got a pretty good racket going on. I says, it's as close to being the Sopranos without being the Sopranos as you can get. I says, you know how the mob guys will walk up to your coffee shop and go, you know, it would be unfortunate if an accident was to happen to your business. Fortunately, we're here for a small fee. We can make sure these accidents don't happen. When the fact of it is that the ones causing the accidents are the guys that is offering her protection. Well, when it comes down to Spectrum cable, they overcharge for the cable, and you would, as they say it, cut the cord and go to a fire stick, but your damned internet service is in and out, in and out, in and out, so the fire stick ain't going to be worth shit. So it's kind of funny what they're doing. You know, the cable never goes out, but they charge too much. The internet is reasonable price, but it's not reliable. So I'm like, damn, you know, this is pretty neat racket right here, man. I need to get in on this. So just when you think Al Capone was dead, he's actually running the Spectrum cable just in somebody else's body. But nevertheless, enough about technology and how we're getting bamboozled. As usual, nevertheless. So, Todd had an idea for a show tonight.
And yes, folks, I actually had an idea.
He had an idea, otherwise known as brain tricklage, is what we like to call it. But what I'm going to do is turn it over to Todd and let him elaborate on his show idea, and we're going to run with it. I think we're going to have a hell of a show. So, Todd, you're up to bat, brother. What you got?
Well, all righty then. Hey, the I've been kind of funny. Dave uses trickle or had that trickling around the back of my little, what passes is my little brain housing group for a while now. And this idea came up, and I think I was going more towards the positive mode, but I realized there can be some really fun comedic moments with it too, embarrassing and stuff like that. I wanted to discuss humbling moments. There could be, you know, sometimes those humbling moments that are one might call blessings. Go with that, with the blessings. And it could be embarrassing moments with the humbling moments. And it could be just, you know, true being humble type moments that you have that. It's just wow. Because I think sometimes we really get too wrapped up in some of the negative stuff. And I wanted to kind of run this with a little positive bent, if you will. So that's kind of what I wanted to run with tonight. And fortunately for me, I've got a group of lunatics that we do the show with. And they agreed to run with it. Oh, that's funny, Tim. Are you going to plug in? Tim's coming up. He's getting a low battery warning. Dave chimed in in a little chat on the side, said SIM card issues. Man, you guys are not going to leave that one alone. I really see you guys not leaving that one alone. Just not going to leave it alone. We are going to go ahead and run with the humbling show and try to stay away from SIM cards no matter how much Destiny seems to be trying to get us in that stinking direction. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. No, seriously, and I told them I brought one up in the green room. I work with some extremely talented people. They know their business, both, if you will, to use the old kind of proficiency standards, military phrase. And these people are really good at what they do. The area of our business that I lead really ain't their favorite. It just tanked. But it's a necessary evil. And we've got some amazing folks, very senior folks, and that they earn every doggone penny that they get. And I've got a rather senior manager in a meeting this morning, and we were talking about some stuff coming up and how we're going to deal with it. Is like, yeah, you know, it brought up that I was worthy that he's on vacation next week, and I mentioned that. And he's like, yeah, he goes, but you know, if something comes up, just call my cell. You got the number. And it's true. He made sure he has his business cell published, but I already had the personal number. And it's just, that's a pretty darn humbling moment when you, because he's really rather senior to me. And it's just a humbling thing to be able to work with people like that, and that they do that kind of thing. And I put that kind of closer to the blessing side of the humble. So that's how I'm starting out with the first example, gents.
Hey, I'll go ahead and piggyback off of that, because I work in the same ring of folks that Todd does. So, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, and I feel the same way, and I was going to leave it. I thought, eh, we've talked about it before, but Todd brings up a good point, and I'll carry on with that. But I got to go back and say, I may have mentioned it again or before previously, but, you know, for those of us folks that have to be in those audit meetings, Todd's right. That's the area that most people audit makes you want to throw up. But the thing is there's a lot of fun that's at those audit meetings. And I think because we have an attitude that we're all in it together, it brings a lot of us closer together, you know. So, and Todd, you know, if I can, you know, Todd's talking about the knowledge base and everything that those people have. And I got to say, you know, Todd should be included in that group of people, because he's gone away on leave before. And good God, I think all of us were like, holy shit, when is Todd coming back? He's good at what he does. And Todd, you and I both probably started in that same game around the same time period. I may have had about a couple weeks on you, or hell, I don't know, somewhere around there. But you're one of those that makes that group awesome, those autumn meetings. And, you know, everybody there and all those high-up folks, everybody feels comfortable there. It's a really awesome group of folks to work for. And then I was going to go on a little bit personally as well, just because it kind of came to my, you know, head. Because I was thinking to myself the other day, you know, I love working there. Pardon me. Good Lord. I don't know what's in my throat right now, but anyway. But
that's
this
what
is
she
probably
said.
The – ooh, nice. Nice. Very nice. But I was just thinking to myself, you know, the wife was joking around about moving to various places. And, you know, so she would keep like finding stuff on USA Jobs, and she would say, what about this place? What about you go to work here? Maybe you go to work at the Pentagon. I was like, honey, I'm not working at the Pentagon. I think there's quite a few steps before you get to that level anyway. I'm not that close at all. But I kind of like where I'm at, because this is the one spot that I can think of where people will actually say, I don't know, you'll have to ask Tim Armstrong for that one. He's going to be your point of contact. He's going to be the one who designed that process, or he did that document, or he knows about this, or he can answer this. And I can't think of anywhere else where I've been, you know, recognized like that. And if I have a thought or if I have an idea, my leadership, they listen and they'll go with it and like, okay, cool, sounds good. And, you know, there's a lot of people in a lot of spots that don't have that. I mean, when I was still in programming, you didn't really, not that I had terrible jobs, they were great spots, but you kind of, when you're a programmer or when you're in development, you don't really have that much of a choice unless you're working on some kind of a technical project or you're one of the the main architects or the lead who has the ideas. You know, you're just basically given specs, and then you code it, it's out the door. They might pretend like they're going to listen to you. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, but they're not, crap's going to happen from it. So, you know, that's kind of my humbling moment for me at work. It's pretty cool to be, you know, have your boss come to you because he has no idea what it is you do or anything about audit, which is very important there. So when I have him coming to me so that he can, you know, understand a little bit more about it and then relay whatever info I have on to other leaders, that makes me feel really good. That's pretty cool. And I like working with the people that I do, and Todd's definitely included in that. We chat just about every day, even if it's not about work. You know, so which is hard to do these days when everyone's in a geographically different spot due to the whole COVID crap. But anyway, I'll shut up about that topic for now. So we'll move along, but just wanted to give my few cents while we're doing the topic.
And that actually brings us right back to the humbling moments, to be honest. And that's the thing. It's I don't know. I feel like I'm doing half my stuff with smoke, mirrors, baling wire, and duct tape. trying to keep my stuff together, Tim's a good example of the support, a good example of support. But that's an honest example of those humbling moments. It's, yeah, I know you all wait for us to go break out in a group hug and kumbaya and whatnot, but no, it's serious. It's this serious conversation here. It's all real, folks. But yeah, that's another humbling moment right here, live and on the air, man. Diamond Dave, what you got?
Well, you know, it's
yeah, I know.
There's plenty
fun
of
to follow that one, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have a SIM card to follow up with, but nevertheless. Something that I think about a lot of times is the show, what we're doing right here, right now. How does this, all this connective tissue fall into place? I got laid off from work, and not to toot my horn at all, but, you know, Todd, you remember, I mean, I was pretty much the man in that building for getting things done. And out of the 200 people who worked in that building, I probably was the last guy that anybody thought would ever get laid off. And turned out being, you know, my number was up. And for whatever reason that was, you know, when it happened, it stung. It stung pretty bad. Because I was. I mean, I had people same rank as myself that would, you know, show up to work half hour late every day and take 2-hour lunches, leave early, call out. In the meantime, I was working my days off and never took chow and was working late every night. And, you know, so all the things that I was doing to preserve myself and make myself indispensable really didn't amount to a hill of beans in the end. So I recall coming out here with a drink and a cigar one night, and I'm standing right here in the exact same spot I'm standing right now, and I just kind of said, all right, you know, I know we don't talk much, speaking to the man above, and I says, and I also understand that perhaps I need to speak to you more, but I feel like I can handle my own stuff, and the bigger things that I can't get my arms around, I'll dial you up. This is one of them. And this was like 2-3 days before I got laid off, or I got the news I was being laid off. And I said, I am absolutely miserable. My head is stuck so far up my ass right now, I can't see straight. I need some help. And as per these little hints that people always tell me about that you drop, I says, they don't touch me. I need like a safe or a grand piano from 13 stories up to come down on me. That's what I need, because that's the only thing I hear. And I said, so.
Just for the record, people, Dave does have some Wile E. Coyote in him.
Yeah. I order from Acme quite often, you know. And I says, you know, hey, you know, if you could do me a solid and show me the way, I'll run with it. And, you know, 48 hours later, I get paperwork that I'm being laid off from a job that was paying me 65, 70 grand a year. So, which, you know, here in Jacksonville, it may not be 75 grand might not amount to much in other places, but here in Jacksonville, that's a fair amount of money. And
yeah, it is.
So I get the news, and broke news to the wife, and I got my drink, got my cigar, came out to the same spot, and I remember looking up the sky, and I said, game on. You know what I mean? Because he did for me what I needed. That was that grand piano from 13 stories up. So what did I do? I did all the things that I always bitched about I never had time to do. I remodeled my house. I got back in touch with my family. And I sat down and I wrote a couple books. So with the books, there's always this misnomer that if you have published novels that you're driving BMWs. Now, that could be furthest from the truth. And
so true.
So true. So, and what's even worse is I was embezzled out of the royalties I had through a unforeseen, sketchy publishing deal. And myself and about 24 other people were taken to the cleaners, and none of us got our royalties. But it's real easy to get down when you have that kind of luck, right? When you say, damn, you know, I'm busting my ass writing these books. I've had nothing but positive feedback from not only friends and family, but total strangers. And I have nothing to show for it. And that's real easy to say when you got your wallet sitting on the table. But if you look at the bigger picture, what we're doing right here, right now, would not be going on had it not been for those books. The people that I've met, the people that I reconnected with, the experiences I've had over the last 6 years since writing the books, it is an amazing amount of people, and it's been an amazing amount of experience that I've had and was able to share with my family and my friends and everything. So, you know, there I was one evening trying to find shows to set tables up at, and I saw a guy was having a Cape Fear Con in Wilmington. Well, called the guy up. The gentleman's name was Dr. John Stamey. And all I wanted was information about a table, and me and him shot the breeze for almost 3 hours straight. Didn't even know one another. Shortly there afterwards, I was at Crystal Coast Con there in Cape Carteret, and this gentleman walked up to me in a bright orange shirt and said, "You're Dave Atwell." And I says, "And you are?" And he says, "I'm John Stanley." And I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" You know? So, you know, as we got to know each other, we had dinner that night. I had dinner with Stroh and my son and, Chrissy and her husband and everything. And, I mean, it was a good meal, good times. So, it wasn't long thereafter he said, "Hey, you know, need you to come on the show and talk about your book series." So, got on the show, talked about the book series. As soon as the show was over with, my phone immediately rang, and it was him. He said, "Man, you need to stay on the show." And, I didn't know what to think. I was like, "All right." You know, because I was flattered, but I was thinking, why is he calling me? I'm nobody. You know what I mean? I'm just another poo stain on the panties of life, you know? What am I, and why is he wanting me on here? But now, here I am, speaking to a good friend who moved away. I've picked up another friend through him, me and you, Tim, and you look at Granny,
sir,
and Malcolm and Velvet, all the people that we speak to every Wednesday night. So you think about all the people that you've come in contact with, all the people you've become friends with through these books. And despite the fact that I was embezzled out of a fair amount of money, I have such a wealth of friends and opportunities that came about through it, that it just tells me to keep grinding. You know what I mean? It tells me not to get down. It's the Rocky music that plays in my head. And it does. It gets you back on track. And when you stop and look, I mean, hell, social media, I didn't even have a Facebook page before writing the books. They said, you know, you're not on social media. How's anybody going to know about the books? I thought it just happened through magic, to be honest with you. I wrote a book and everybody was going to buy it. But they said, you know, you don't have any type of social media. You need to get your stuff out there. So, you know, I started off and I got 10 friends. I think now I'm almost at 1,000 people. And they're everything from people I've worked with, family, actors, athletes, comic book artists. And these are people that I probably talk more to than people that live right down the road from me. So it is. It's pretty, you know, humbling when you stop and think about all the stuff, because it's real easy to get down when you get cheated. Real easy to get down. And I still have my moments when I'm writing where I'm thinking, you know, why am I doing this? I'm just burning daylight. What? On the flip side, and Todd, you've been there for many of these occasions, think about all the stuff that has happened. And despite being short in the wallet, I wouldn't change a bit of it. And if somebody came down here and said, hey, we'll exchange all these experiences for the money, I'd tell you to keep the money. So, yeah, being on this show every week is kind of the reminder to me. It gives me that shot in the arm saying, hey, man, you know, you have done some damage with this book, and or these books, better yet, and you need to keep getting it. Don't give up. Don't get down. Keep pushing. So there's
that brings us to the blessing version, my friend.
So, you know, for anybody out there who has something like that, do it. You know, Todd was a perfect example. You know, Todd told me years ago, he says, hey, man, I'm trying to get this thing working. You know, it's going to take some time. I said, right on, man. And, you know, I hated like hell to see Todd leave because he was a damn valued member of the staff. But on the flip side, it was a happy ending because I knew he was heading on to better things and that his talents were going to be better used than what they were getting used on my staff, for crying out loud. So, yeah, it's and now every Wednesday, we get on here and we shoot the shit. And I don't think we would have been doing this otherwise had the worm turned in the other direction. So, yeah. So always try to take
true
the bad
that.
And somehow twist it into a good if you can, you know.
Hear, hear. I'm raising my Diet Coke.
The you gotta learn from the bad. Learning from it, evaluating it, is not the same as dwelling on it. Putting
right.
some focus to get clarity of it is not dwelling on it. Definitely a different thing. At least that's what I. You know, in my humble opinion, to follow the thing, that's the way I see it. The look, I mean, I've told my kids, don't follow my footsteps. I mean, I walk in the walls. I may not be the best damn example in the world. I sure am not. But, you know, you got to start somewhere and learn and suss things out. You really do.
It
just is.
And, you know, Like I said, it's really easy to, and that's something I preach all the time, and you guys have heard me talking about it, you know, is you got to look at the big picture sometimes. And, you know, that's where, and, you know, when you're down, it's so easy to say it on Wednesday night when I'm talking to you guys. You know what I mean? We're sitting here having a podcast about this thing and talking about it. When you're really sunk and you got that damn, you know, ball and chain wrapped around your leg and everything and you're dragging that thing everywhere you go, it's hard to wrap your mind around the blessings that you have. But, you know, that's where you've got to really dig in, find your resolve and say, hey, you know, I've got this. And whether folks want to admit it or not, a lot of times taking a step back is the only way to taking steps forward and accomplish your goals. Don't stop making new ones, but damn it, enjoy the time when you do make them. Don't be afraid.
Yeah,
to
man.
Enjoy
the,
them.
Yeah, man, there's, you know, took some jobs that I was just miserable at, but you know what? I was, here's another variation of it. I was not going to be, I was going to be humble enough to take these jobs because it was more important to try to make attempts to get ends to meet and take care of the family. And those were part of the learning experiences of what I bring to play today and what I do. Those helped build, mold, influence who I am. Yeah, those were, they definitely were not the best of times.
I can go right there with you guys. You talk about humbling. I mean, that's the whole theme. And it sounds like each one of us kind of, you know, didn't start off in the hottest spot. I flipped chicken until I was about 25-ish. That's funny. I don't remember the age I was. I ended up, I was trying to be a firefighter, and I went through EMT school, and I got that under my belt, but that pay wasn't any better than what I was doing. I didn't just go from frying chicken to IT. There was some steps in the middle there, but thinking about from where I was, and, you know, I was one of those that I didn't have cable TV, which is fine. I didn't care. I had my own place, and that was cool. I had my own house. I bought it when I was 23. I didn't make garbage for money. I made less than $25,000 waiting tables throughout the week and in the same restaurant flipping chicken on the weekends. I never bought anything. I couldn't because I had to pay my bills, but I paid them. I paid my bills. I paid them on time, you know, paid the mortgage, paid the, because I bought a car, too, that following spring. Just meant that, you know, and I still had cash. Don't get me wrong. I went out to the bars with friends and coworkers. So, you know, there was a little bit of money off to the side. But, you know, if something bad happened to the house, I was screwed. You know, it took me a while, and I'm thinking even my mom bailed me out once when I had some huge plumbing issues going on in the house. So, you know, and it's, when you come from that kind of stuff, it really makes you stop and think, you know, maybe I tend to tip a little bit more when I'm at restaurants. I don't, unless I can see someone deliberately just being a pain in the ass working in a restaurant, you know, because there are those people out there. But if something's just messed up in the kitchen or, you know, just watch who you yell at, because, man, it's 95% of the time they're not the ones who screwed up. You know, if it's busy, it's busy. If it takes you, you know, an extra 20 minutes in the line of McDonald's to get your food, don't scream at the person. You're the asshole that's making their day shit. So why yell at them? You know, you're just, it doesn't do you any good. But when you come from these spots, it makes you think a little bit more, give a little bit more, and be that much more humbled. So, you know, just keeping following suit with you guys. But I don't know if I stepped on your show, Todd. I don't know whose turn it was now.
No. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. That's that's a great example. The wait staff, they're dealing with a myriad of folks. You talk about people that got to be humble because they don't, sure, they can watch and they can see by posture, facial expressions, mannerisms. You can read a room. But when they're sitting in there, and I'll give you an example. I was in line today. My first COVID shot, and where I was at was short-staffed, and there was a guy in line, and he was kept checking the time, so you know he's pressed for time. So, you know, I'm lucky enough, at least where I'm at, they give me they have some sort of like a credit time. I think it's called administrative leave. Is that what it was, Sam, for us to do this? Something like that. Anyhow, so I'm compensated. It's okay. I can go and do this. And if the line's long, I'm covered. I'm still getting paid. I'm not, you know, I'm required to do it. They're, you know, if I want to continue my employment with the organization, I will get the shot. But this guy, you could see that. And you could also see he was nervous about getting the shot. And you could see that he was feeling impatient and frustrated. You could just read him. But to his credit, unlike Karen on the other side, this cat, he showed he was feeling it, but he didn't take it out on anyone. Karen, she was demonstrating a functional lack of cognizance, which usually shows cognitive ability. You know, she went, she entered the drive-thru, the sign wasn't, you know, said closed, but in the meantime, she just watched the vehicle in front of her, that, you know, the little thing comes out, people are reaching in back and forth, they were getting help, she that's on her. She couldn't suss it out, but she took it out on everybody else. And these are the people that are trying to help you. Why, Karen, would you be an ass to the person that wants to help you? Do you just me being me? And I get, I'm not the smartest person in the room. I can't figure out the benefit of when somebody's trying to provide a service for you and help you out, how being a complete, you know, being uncivil to them is beneficial to the situation or to you getting help.
Yep, I agree.
And I get there are people that fold and will just do stuff to shut you up. But they didn't do it out of respect.
Yeah, I've gotten on people's. I've yelled when I probably shouldn't have, but I guarantee you, every time I've done it, I'll catch myself and I end up apologizing, and I'll say, that's my bad. I apologize for that. I'm worked up, and it's not your fault. And not like I go off and. Whatever. I've been a little upset that I'm waiting so long to get the hole fixed in my roof. Okay, that's what I got mad at the guy on the phone about. But I apologize to him. So, there you go.
Read the room, know the situation, all that kind of stuff. Some of these people, they're working. We know some of that stuff you had that just happened. A bunch of those short adjusters. bounce down to the greater Louisiana, Alabama, whatnot area to deal with the storm damage.
Yep.
There were a bunch of them already in the greater New York area from the previous storm. It's insane. You know, people are short-staffed all over for a myriad of reasons. Sometimes we got to be just read the room and be considerate. So now we're shifting from humility to consideration. I like it. We've had worse tangents. We have had worse tangents. And this show today is brought to you by your random thought process, which is why you should try Focus Factor.
And the letter Y.
Like,
oh,
I always
man,
say, this
yeah.
episode is brought to you by the letters F, the letter U, and the number 2.
I like it. Some of the humbling stories Dave touched on earlier, and I know I've mentioned some of these, Tim, when we've talked on the side. When I met Dr. John, we were at those folks had Hardwire Tattoo in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Good people there. They hold great Christmas functions, stuff like that. They hosted a thing. Excuse me, so Papa Stroh could do the film he had a small bit part in, and it was really cool because people were there, they were hanging out. I did my usual bring cookies, whatever, and that's where I met Dr. John, and we were all sitting there and talking and just, you know, being people generically, and I brought up HAARP to Dr. John, and I remember Dave had an expression on his face. Do you recall that, Dave?
Yeah.
The HAARP Array in Alaska. And Dr. John suddenly was like, hey. And just that random encounter, we started talking. And that's just kind of the way stuff happens sometimes. And, you know, next thing I know, he's comping me for a show. It's going on. He's like, yeah, you know, bring whoever and hear some things. And I was like, hey, why don't we get you guys signed some posters and I'll hit them in some of the local small businesses and stuff like that. If I can get a handful of tickets, if they're willing to put up a poster, I can give them a couple, 4 tickets, you know, to come in there. And, you know, even if they can't go, they can hand them out to people. So I'm out there getting posters put up and got Dr. John, got Papa Stroh and Dave to sign all the posters. And we're getting these put up. And the one place still has one up on the wall, you know, up there on their little, you know, their where they have some of the neat stuff that they've been involved in. You know, you never know. You go out, you do some little thing, and you go out and you help at a con with that stuff. You know, you get they take care of you here. And Dave was talking about the people you meet. Dr. John was like, hey, can you cover this table for so-and-so? I don't have anybody to cover it while they go and do their meet and greet. I'm like, yeah. Next thing I know, Greg Cruz and his son. Greg was in The Walking Dead, had a speaking role, stuff like that. You know, he got, of course, he had his guts munched. Imagine that in The Walking Dead. And it's just, you meet these people and they just become part of your game. I still remember God, what do you call the one in Wilmington, Dave?
Oh, that's the Cape Fear.
The Cape Fear Con.
Yeah.
We're down there doing the Cape Fear Con, and we're at the end of the show, and we've done our stuff, we've talked with everybody, we've worked with a myriad of people, and look, if I don't mention your name, it's not because you ain't loved, it's just there's a myriad of people and stuff that goes on at these things. It's like an assault on the senses in a very good way. I'm sitting here, I'm just me, with a tap on the shoulder and a hug. It's doggone Cassie Page giving me a hug when she's leaving, and she's there, got to meet her dad, that kind of stuff. And I'm just a guy, and she's winning regional awards for her country singing. And I'm getting a hug from her as she leaves. That's pretty damn humbling. There are some amazing people at these events.
There are. And just the ones that you think wouldn't be here are the ones that turn out to be, you know, the ones that are most interested. And, you know, it's good stuff, man, and it's a lot of fun, and again, it's one of those things where you kind of stop and you just, you know, despite all the bad things you might be going through, you just stop for a minute and you go, well, you know, how did I end up getting here? Maybe things ain't so bad. You know, maybe I need to put the emo in check and realize that I got a lot of good stuff going. And it'll bring you around. Everybody needs that kind of shot in the arm, and, I mean, hell. And, you know, Todd was one of the guys that orchestrated that whole damn tidal wave of people. I mean, a bunch of guys from work got their families together, and they came to a con to support me. And they had it. They went through the trouble. They went out and ate breakfast together. You know, some kinship there. Everybody got done eating and said, all right, let's go see a knucklehead. And they drove to the con. And it wasn't just a handful of guys. It was a handful of guys and their families. And they spaced themselves out like 5 minutes apart. So there I am standing there, you know, my thumb up my ass at my table trying to panhandle books. And here comes Todd. I'm like, hey, all right, man, you know, outstanding, you know, good to see you. And I'm, you know, shaking Garion's hand, giving Connor a hug, and then a whole 9 yards, you know. Well, next thing you know, here comes Al. Al, what the hell are you doing? Next thing you know, here comes Curtis. And it's, you know, and then Stewart came in. And it's like they had a whole plan behind it. And, you know, that was their way of supporting me. And for me, it meant the absolute world to me. And, again, it gives you that stop and pause, and you're going, okay, well, you know, these are good people right here. These are good guys. They wouldn't have gone through all this trouble if you're not doing something right. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You know,
it was a joy to watch the expression on your face when you sussed out what the hell we were up to.
Yeah, and then what was even funnier is that we had some voice actors, if you recall, Todd. Now here's the other end of humble. This is the fun kind of humble. When you don't get that emotional boost, you get that ego boost out of it. I started getting some mean mugs from these voice actors that were on the other side, and one of them had mentioned to one of the organizers, "Guy doing." Because I had a whole crowd over there at the table. I mean, they had no idea they were all guys that I work with and everything. But, yeah, there was two or three of them right there that were a little peeved at the fact that we were all piled up around my table just being a lowly writer and everything. So, you know, that, too, was humbling, but humbling in more of an egotistical way. But, yeah, again, yeah, it's cool stuff. And when you're having rough days, it's these kind of memories that you rehash that presses the reset button for you and gets you back where you need to be. Because you're wherever you're at for a reason, be it good, bad, or in between. Whatever your situation is, you're in via a toxic mix of decisions you've made. if you understand my meaning, there are circumstances we can't handle, keep or prevent. But on the flip side, you know, where you live, what you're driving, how many kids you have, are you married, are you not married, how many times been divorced, all these type of things are based off of calls that you've made. So, you know, when things are going good or things turn out good, don't be afraid to sit back and reflect and appreciate even the bad things. Because it
Definitely.
Takes the bad things just as much as it takes the good things to get you to where you need to be. Because to be honest with you, if you ask me, and I know this is probably a morbid form of self-hate that I have, and the a psychiatrist would go ahead and say, oh, yeah, this guy's really down on himself. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes losing is more important than winning when it comes down to teaching you how to handle things, teaching you humility. And
yeah, I agree.
Going back to the humble thing, it has a way of making that humble feeling and that reflection that much more better, or more better. Damn, that was good. I got three published novels. That was
yeah, there we go. And yes, people, he is an author. That's
God, damn, man. Where can I hit the edit button on this thing? Holy balls, dude. Next thing you know, I'll be whipping out a funner on somebody. But, you know, you catch my meaning, despite my bad grammar, that, you know, it does. It sweetens the pot. And when you stop and you reflect on these things that have happened to you, not only does it humble, make you humble, but it also gives you that warm fuzzy to go along with it, because you're going, damn it, I'm still here and I'm still punching, you know. And now I've had my ass kicked a couple times, and here I am. I'm still getting it. I'm not on the mat. So, you know, when things like that happen, when, you know, Todd and the guys came in there with their families and everything, when they walked away, I was like, hot damn. You know, that was pretty damn cool. And it was cool from all different angles. So,
yeah, and the myriad of people we meet there, we've had Jeff Lessing on the show, I'm fairly sure Jeff and I have talked a ton more than Chrissy and I have, although, and it's not, that's not a reflection on Chrissy, it's just how cool Jeff is. There are some classic hilarious moments. There just are. Sitting there with Bill and Belle Fripp, and I was like, how do I get that recipe to your cookies?
Yeah, because everybody was walking on that.
Yeah, well, walking down that lane later in the day, and I'm not sure who all was sharing. It was a few of them. Damn, Power Rangers coming up to me. Dude, that's a good cookie. Something happened backwards here. I'm at the con. They're supposed to see the featured guest. I got the guest coming out to me in the aisle saying, man, that was a good cookie. But that's, look, I'm going to say this. I know Indiana's got a big con coming up. I love those smaller cons, man. There is if you get a shot and you want that humbling, like, real experience, that is it. Gary still talks about how the one Battlestar Galactica guy, Gary and I were walking by, and he came out, he was another cookie guy, And that's where stuff started, and we had a whole conversation about why you choose and or who not to break bread with. You know, he was part of the original Battlestar Galactica, worked with Lord Green, all that kind of stuff, you know, and he talked about the professionalism on the set. And we're having this conversation in the middle of the freaking aisle. It's humbling, and you walk away from that. You're like, wow, that really just freaking happened. Just saying.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah, humbling moments happen. Now, look for them. Be aware. You know, we all have the embarrassing moments. Oh, my God. I realize we ain't focused on that. But, man, let me tell you, we give each other a lot of grief in these meetings that we do daily. And it's, to be clear, good-natured. Poor Daryl the other day, he was using a line about the financially significant transactions, and he just focused on significant all the way throughout the day on the stuff, and he went to bring it up the next day, and then dropped out a line. I was like, hey, Daryl yesterday called it, wants its expression back. And he was not upset, not hurt, not nothing. He just, okay, I'll take that. I'll own that. He was just, you know.
Yep, I was there. I witnessed it. It was classic. I did witness it.
These people are smart. Jim's not kidding. I've worked with some smart people. We know the one that was a deputy in the section. She decided she could do better business working on another part. We're talking people that are part of Mensa. You know, you got to sit in there and there are smart people, man. It's fun. Oh, my God, one day I couldn't get my screen sharing stuff to work. Oh, the grief I got on that thing, man, and it just piled on from all directions. And it was just, you know, I was doing real well on my side, so I might as well own it. That's just the way it is, you know. Oh, yeah, I get embarrassed on a regular basis.
If anybody slips up, they get attacked. Like, what analogy do I want to use? I'm thinking of like a herd of some kind of animal, and like the weakest one becomes the target. That's pretty much what it's like if you screw up in these meetings.
Oh yeah, this group, they're like piranha. They smell the blood in the water.
There you go. There you go.
Tell you, rough crowd. Yeah.
Again, you wouldn't rib and or be ribbed if people didn't have a particular amount of affection towards you and respect.
I think you really, really, really see this. I will tell you right now, this guy sounds kind of silly. These meetings were pretty tense a couple years back. I think it was because we focused on was the pressure. I think the group overall has learned to laugh at ourselves. Back to that humble thing. We can laugh at ourselves. We're going to drop the ball on things. You get a hot email from somebody. Then you get a follow-up email. Yeah, I missed the follow-up email. Sorry about that. And you already know, you can see the sheepish grin on the person's face. It just is. It just is. Oh, yeah, it's a... We learn to roll with the punches. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun that the stuff Van Dave will tell you. Dave was, this is a true story. Dave had one of the regional, within the region, they would take the different store managers and the management teams come and inspect other stores and look what they're doing was to have a kind of sort of unbiased opinion. Although they all knew who was doing what sales-wise, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people came in there with the right attitude, like, what can I steal from here that is good, that I can take back to my place? What can I share that's good for my place to share with them? And then you had some people that were only going to look for that because they were struggling on their side. Try to make somebody else look bad is a great way to make yourself look better. Old Dave was over there by the rotisserie area. I went, grabbed one of those white paper whites, threw it in my shoe, and walked through like I had, was dragging toilet paper around my shoe while Dave's dealing with one of these other senior managers from another store. True story. The expression on Dave's face was money. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, never a dull moment. But, yeah, I mean, you know, those kind of things at work. I'll throw out another example. You know, when I was speaking about my layoff, and Todd, I think you were a witness to this, if I remember correctly. But when I got the word that I was being laid off, nobody was supposed to know. I mean, it was pretty much one of these things where if you tell your family, they can't tell anybody. So, you know, I get that, and I can play the game. I mean, ain't the first security clearance I've had, you know, for whatever. So, anyhow, the next day I mulled over it, you know, here at the house. You know, how am I going to tell my staff? How am I going to tell the folks here? Because a lot of the folks there, I started working there in 99, and Rob was 7-8 months old, right? And there are people that watched Rob when he was still on baby milk. And now here he is, you know, 22-year-old Sasquatch. And they've watched that young man, just as I have, grow up, you know. So it's more than just people you work with. I mean, they actually become family to you after a while, right? So I rolled over my head a million times. How do we need to handle this, you know, so there isn't a revolt of some type or another, and everybody needs a job, and if something shitty happens to me, not everybody's going to quit. You know, that's not what was rolling through my head. It was more, how do I make this look like a necessary move that the company has to make for the good of the ship? You know what I mean? How do I make this look like something that needs to be done for the sake of everybody, the whole Spock thing, you know? So the next day I come in and I sit down with the chief, and Todd will verify our chief was less than honest person. He was a what they would call sketchy these days, and pathological liar, and a lot of other things I could tack onto him. If you could just picture one of the worst bosses you've ever had, this guy could probably squash him. And so I come in the next morning, and I says, well, and he says, well, how do you want to tell the group? Or how do you want me to tell the group? And I says, you know what? I don't. And he says, well, we got to tell them. I says, that's exactly right. I said, but it's going to have to come from me. And if it comes from you, everybody hates you. And I'll never forget when I told him that, the look on his face, because I guess he genuinely thought everybody loved him. And when I said, everybody in this club hates you, and if you say it, it's going to come off villainous, whereas if I tell them, it's going to come off as a sacrifice that needs to be made. It's going to come out better if I say it. So get up there in a meeting.
This is all a true story. Well, not a good story. This is all reality, folks.
Yeah. And I told him, I says, do your little spiel, and then turn it over to me, and I'll say my piece, and I will keep it on the positive end, even though I'm a little salty right now, I'm going to keep it on the positive end because that's how I want them to take it. I want them to take it as it's something that needs to be done for the good. So just let me word it. And he's like, oh, all right, you know, if you want to do it, I said, it's the only way we can do it. So let's get it on. So 30 minutes to roll it through my head, how I was going to approach it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, I says, you know what? I'm just going to come around, say what's going on. I'm going to make it as clean and as positive and a step in the right direction for all parties involved, including myself, that I can. I'm going to high-five everybody, give some hugs, and then we're going to get back to work, and all this shit will be behind me. So I get up there, and we probably had 50, probably about 50 people up there that morning meeting. So a quarter of the staff, you know. And I said, you know, guys, you know, I know you've heard the scuttlebutt that you know, there's going to be job eliminations and that kind of stuff going on in the club. And that, you know, we're going to be losing a manager here in this building. And everybody is sitting there with a grin on their face because there's like two or three managers in that building that weren't hitting a lick. And everybody was hot damn. You know, justice is finally being paid, you know, because these guys are getting gone for not doing their job. And I says, and that person that will be leaving us is going to be me. And when I said that, I expected just kind of everybody to get that bewildered look. Man, people started crying. And when I said crying, I'm talking just like sobbing. And I'm standing there going, holy shit, what do I do now? It was almost like that Pepe Le Pew moment when you finally catch up with the cat and she gets shit-faced and she starts chasing him. And he's saying, mademoiselle, you control yourself. I was totally taken aback of all this damn emotion, and I'm going, holy shit, these people are genuinely upset. There were people that were mad. There were people that were crying. I know one in particular that was grinning ear to ear because she hated my guts, but that's her own tough tits. She didn't like me because I made her do her job. Nevertheless, there's a little humility for you, but
how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you make somebody do
their
job?
Exactly. How dare you make me do my job? How dare you hold me accountable for what I'm supposed to do and I'm getting paid hot dollars to do? But, you know, when all the dust settled, I got home that night. And, I mean, I just had this glazed look on my face. And Dale said, how did it go? And I says, not the way I expected. And, you know, I rehashed the story with her, and she says, wow. And I was like, yeah. I said, I hardly expected that. And, you know, and it's those moments when you're going, wow, you know, this, I actually count. And it was very humbling, very down to, brings a guy down to earth, and also makes you thank whatever powers that be for getting you in the position you're at, because you know, and that's one of those memories that I carry with me all the time. And it not only does it make me feel good on the bad days, but it keeps me in check on the good days. So that way the ego and the good warm fuzzies don't get too overactive. You know what I mean? But yeah, that was definitely a very humbling and unexpected reaction from everybody. And yeah, it's something else, man. It's, and we're not talking, and Todd will back this up too, is that a lot of those people that were upset, being angry or crying, these are quality people. These aren't people that you let run ragged and they're just mad because the guy that lets them get away with anything is leaving. These are good people. These are people that you would leave your children with. These are people that you invite to your house. These are people you break bread with. These are people you go out of your way to walk over and say, hey, Merry Christmas. Have a, have a safe holiday. Quality people. So when you're looking around the room and you see all these good people showing emotions towards something bad that's happening to you, I mean, wow. You know, it's a hell of a damn feeling. You know, all kinds of different emotions could be attached to it. So, yeah, the workplace definitely could make you or break you when it comes down to that, the humble emotional meter, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The, there was some stuff on that story. They locked me down because I had mentioned him on the side. It said, some of these ones with the crocodile tears, can I go out there and say what I think? And he was like, no! There were people so relieved it wasn't them, but they, All right, so we're down to like 13 minutes and change. We've had kind of a more serious show tonight, folks. It's a real show. There's we found our way to have humor in here while bringing a serious subject to the table. So I'm liking that we pulled that off. We're doing good there. And I know I really don't want to go an extra innings tonight if possible, but with us, you never know. The let's see if I can come up with a cute, embarrassing, humbling moment. There are just, oh, please. More humbling, embarrassing moments. I can't think of stuff that the wife has done to just more clearly to me in the past 30 years and change that she and I have been running around. Man, humbling. You know what? I'm going to use a kind of a different angle of humble. I'm humbled that Yuki has felt fit to tolerate, deal with me, and love me these many years. That's one of the greatest humbling moments. The Gary and Akana, they're humble. It just is. Being a husband and a father, that's a pretty humbling thing. I'm going to throw that out there and let you guys follow that.
Well, I wasn't exactly going to follow suit. You were talking about embarrassing, so I was trying to rack my brain on embarrassing. I can definitely throw a wide spectrum. There's a wide spectrum, so anywhere on that scale I could go and find an example of embarrassing. And, I could go ahead and stick with the we've been talking about, a lot of the time we've been talking about work and just, where we've been, what we've dealt with, our new spots, whatnot. And I had spoken, I flipped chicken till I was in my 20s. You might think, well, that's, you're in your 20s. That's pretty young. That's not most of your life or anything. But, I had to, moving on from there wasn't exactly easy. And the whole time that I was working, I did work as an EMT. He was part-time, thank God, making like $8 an hour at the time. And my first day on the job, it might have been my second, but I was working as an EMT out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on race day.
Okay, here we go.
For the Indianapolis,
I know this.
500. Yeah, but yeah, Todd, I don't think I've told you. In fact, I can't believe it. I quit drinking however many months ago. You'd think I would only say this story drunk, but I'm completely sober, so here it goes. But if we want to talk embarrassing, it's kind of actually a little bit of a, I mean, it's it, it's Well, I'll just say it like this. There was a lot of anxiety that day, so my judgment, everything was off. And it was actually quite possibly the worst day of my life. I can make humor of it now, but back then it really sucked, and I'm not kidding when I say I couldn't have been that far off the mark from having a stroke. I mean, my blood pressure, my heart rate was through the roof. I sat there gripping the steering wheel because they told me I'd be driving Med 8, which was an advanced life support ambulance. You got advanced life support and basic life support. So, and they usually team up a medic with an EMT. So I wasn't advanced life support, but my medic was. So I was driving the ambulance. But there was a time when we got our second call, and we drove to the back. There's a lot more involved in this story, but I'm going to try to cut it short. I don't want us to have to go into extra innings. So let me just paint the picture real quick for you. We get a call to a girl who had a seizure. We get up there, load her into the ambulance, and, I mean, I'm just a nervous wreck. This is like the second patient I've ever had in my life. We had a couple of different teams there, so basically I was hands-off, and I just went back to the ambulance, and I sat in the driver's seat, and I waited. And you might think, okay, that's easy enough. How can you screw that up? It's pretty, you know, you sit there in the driver's seat and you wait till you're ready to go, and you go to the hospital. Well, I was so clouded by just the anxiety. I don't know if any of you have, you know, or people listening have anxiety issues. I sure as hell do. And it used to be real bad when I was about that age. But anxiety is no joke, man. It can really screw with your head, and it can cloud your judgment, because my problem was I would overanalyze everything, and I couldn't ever get anywhere because I was just stuck overanalyzing, and then I would freak out because I didn't know the answer to one of the scenarios that I would throw at myself in my head. I didn't know what I would do, and then I would panic, and then I would, but, you know, this is all an internal mental battle. I was just sitting there stewing, going through the entire day. So we get this girl, she's in the back of the ambulance, and it's fine if you laugh. I swear I joke about this day, but it was terrible at the time, but I do joke about it, and it's going to sound humorous as I say it, but they get this girl back of the ambulance, and they're trying to start her IV and everything, and I'm so freaked out. I have no idea what, you know, I'm just panicked, and I'm like, at any second they're going to tell me to go. I'm in a hurry is basically what it is. I'm in a real big hurry. My line of thinking is, I'm behind the steering wheel. It's my job to get this patient to the hospital as quick as possible. So there's about six medics or EMTs, you know, in my rear, or not in the rear view mirror, they don't have them, but I'm, you know, behind me working on her and through the glass and everything. And I finally said, are we ready to go? And asking the question itself was kind of dumb because the doors were wide open. And people were still trying to get her IV in her, and there were people standing outside of the ambulance. Well, somebody, I thought, looked back at me and nodded their head. So, you know, just keep in mind, clouded judgment, no idea what's going on around you. I see somebody nod their head. I ease off the brake, and
oh,
I start
no.
to creep a little bit. And I had about seven or eight people look at me, their eyes got as big as silver dollars, and they went, stop! So I did. No harm, no foul. The parents didn't even really notice because it was funny. They were talking. It was great, actually. The mom was in the front seat because there was no room for her in the back of the ambulance, so she was in the front seat talking to me, and she was talking to me like I was an experienced driver. You know, because I had to go in and out of traffic. That was the cool part of the day. But she was just like, oh, this is, you know, I can't even remember the comments she was making, but it was hysterical how she thought I was a seasoned veteran at this game, and I was just panicked for my life. I'm like, lady, I'm not comprehending a word you're saying. I just want to get your daughter to the hospital. But it's definitely, as I look back on it, I still shake my head. I'm like, my God, there are a million stories about me out there. All these people are like, well, you're never going to believe this. But one day when I was working at the track, you know, they're out there. But yeah, it was kind of sad. You know, anxiety was at fault for that, but what can you do but laugh? You know, so definitely a more embarrassing moment on my part, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with that kind of issue. So there you go.
Happens to the best of us, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
So here's the thought for next week, guys. I'm going to throw it out there because, again, we're on a roll here doing this kind of stuff. Next week, I'll tell you a quick experience I had at the grocery store. I was do you guys have the Aldi's up there at all?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, all right. So Aldi's is almost, I call them an impregnated Scotchman, because a Scotchman's only function is to run in and get a 40 and a pack of smokes, right? Well, in Aldi's, the only function is to run in there and grab something for dinner and go home and cook it. If you're wanting to buy something to use all week, you're in the wrong place. it's been out, yeah. But the one here, or the two here in Jacksonville, especially the one here by the house, they never have anybody to register because they only have like 2 or 3 people working in the damn thing at any given time, and they're doing everything. So anyhow, there's a lady standing in line, and then I am standing, respecting the whole 6 feet apart thing from her, and one of these great big Shrek Amazon chicks comes whizzing around the corner of the damn, you know, these people that shove in shopping carts and they're not using them for shopping carts, they're using them as battering rams, and they just bolt off the end of the aisle and you're having to, you know, jump over them and, you know, duck and the whole nine yards. Well, she come whizzing around this corner with a whole cart full of loot, right? And I mean, I'm still proud at 51 years old, the amount of reflexes I have, because I did the old cartoon lean back where your arms out forward and you're kind of, you know, pushing your ass out and everything. And she didn't miss me by much, right? And she goes, "Oh, are you in line?" And I looked at her and I just, out of reaction for her damn near taking me out with her cart, I said, "Yeah, I'm good. You know, I appreciate it." And she goes, "Oh, okay," and steps right in front of me in line and starts putting her stuff on the belt. And there I am standing there with one item in my hand. And this woman just walks up there and starts schlepping a whole cart full of loot in front of me, right? And the cashier is kind of looking around her and kind of waves me forward, you know, like, "Come on up here and I'll ring you up." And I just looked at the cashier and did the old chop across the throat thing and smiled. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It's not even worth it right now. Just let me stand back here and marinate in the lack of humanity that I'm witnessing right now. You know what I mean?
Again, right there, we got Karen. Watch the fuss. Watch be taken care of.
I mean, she had no regard.
Completely devoid of cognitive ability and demonstrating functional cognizance.
Yeah. I mean, just had absolutely no thought at all about what she had done. And that being said, what I'd like to do next week is do a show about pet peeves you have when you're out in public. Not pet peeves in the house, because we all know what those are. You know, people touching the thermostat and all the dad peeves. You don't touch the thermostat. If you put something in the sink, you rinse it out. All that kind of thing. You'll always make sure you put the soda pop back in the fridge with the tight cap tied on tight. You know, that's all family stuff. We have the same things. But the pet peeves we have when we're out amongst other humanoids. That's what I'd like to do next week, because it will take this week's show and turn it into a good smack running session about things we've run into. So that'll
like
give
it.
Us all a week to get good and ripping pissed about some stuff that happens to us, you know, traffic and everything else. And we'll bring that load to bear next week. So not wishing that a bunch of sketchy stuff happens to you gentlemen over the next 7 days, but think about
those
things.
But it would be helpful
that,
for the show.
Yeah, it'll be good material, right? But that'll be next week's topic.
Oh, Lord.
What, the stuff that gets under your skin when you're out in public. And Christ knows, I've already got like three or four of them just rolling in my skull right now. So, yeah, we'll run with that next week. We should have another good show because tonight was an excellent show, too. We've been on a roll of perfection here lately. So, but we're going to go in the extra inning, so I'm going to pass it around the room real quick for some final thoughts and everything. So, Tim, why don't you lead us off?
Well, all right. I don't know. I guess, oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I think to close out here, I'm going to kind of finalize with my last, I'll just throw out there one more little 30-second, maybe if you will, probably not 30 seconds, more like a minute, but my last here and kind of my exit. And it's my shout-out, and that goes to all of you guys. I think both of you mentioned, well, you guys have a lot of strong ties, and, you know, you've all been to different shows. Everyone seems to have a lot of the same common interests, and, you know, there's a lot of history between, you know, you mentioned Dr. John, you know, obviously Todd on the show, and whoever else, you know, and Velvet and Granny. I mean, the list goes on. And
Papa Stroh.
It was, yeah,
yep.
Papa Stroh. And it was awesome enough that, you know, you guys let me in. And good Lord, it's going on because that was early 2020, was it not? So
oh, yeah.
I think
it's been a minute.
I think we're around a year and a half that I've been on the show. And, you know, it started off, I mean, Todd would come in, you know, talking about the highlights and the podcast and, you know, filling me in on some of the interesting things that happened. And so eventually I called in and would just kind of listen. And I think I was typing Todd something, question, financial questions. And then next thing I know, he's saying, oh, we got a caller on the line. Go ahead and speak your question. And I'm like, oh, crap. And that just kind of started the ball rolling. And, you know, I got used to it. And then you know, I got a heads up that Dr. John wanted me to be on full time. And I had, you know, Dave, you're talking about him calling up and you know, mentioned doing the show and all. That's kind of what happened to me, too. I don't have the, you know, I'm not the author you are, so definitely not, wasn't an expert with something to talk about there like that, but just, you know, filling in gaps where I could or just, you know, being a part of the show is what my role was. And I'm just humbled to be, you know, a part of the group. Because the only one I've seen face-to-face is Todd. You know, and I was kind of hoping to get over there at some point.
Jeez, poor bastard.
And at some point we will. And, you know, at some point I know we will all get together. We'll all get together and for whatever kind of event it is, whatever the venue is, I don't know, but I know it'll happen, so I look forward to it. But, no, I appreciate being included. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun throughout the week in the green room, and it's just a great group of guys, and it's fun to do this every Wednesday. And I think that right there is humbling. So that's it for me for the night. Back to you guys.
Yes, you are one of the guys. Granny, you are one of the guys, huh?
There you go. Yes.
Now you are. But, you know, Tim, again, when I talk about that 50-yard line between crediting yourself and crediting things around you, you bring a lot to the table. And, you know, when you got on there those first couple nights, and, you know, I told Todd will back it up. I said, we need to keep Tim on the show. That guy's got a lot to offer. And, you know, and I'm sure Todd's discussed with you some other things that we've been discussing of recent. And, perhaps it'll be blossoming into more. We shall see. So, yeah.
I just think it's really, I mean, we sunk to new lows that you're actually using me for credibility. Just thought I'd mention that.
How deep are we diving tonight, sir? Well done.
That particular atmosphere imploded.
Beware of the reefs, sir. But, Todd, what kind of closing shots do you have, young man?
Cracks me up with you younger than me always saying that. Seriously, the whole humble thing, I think my years on this planet, I continue to be humbled pretty darn much every day. There's a lot of things that I don't like around me, that I have disdain for, things like that. But let me tell you, there is also a whole bunch of stuff that I would be remiss in not seeing, not thinking about, not being aware of, that humble me, that are part of those blessings, that are part of those darn embarrassing moments I had. Just for the record, I'm well aware that I call it most of my own embarrassing moments. there's a lot of that stuff around us that is real, that is good, that is positive. Don't lose sight of it, folks. It's really there. And as with my usual, take care of yourselves, take care of your family, take care of one another.
Most definitely. Absolutely. Wisdom, baby.
You're here.
For myself, real quick, yesterday I had an experience, and I want to thank these folks for what they did and everything. Yesterday was my dearly departed mom-in-law's birthday, and as usual, took flowers over to the cemetery and everything. And if you've never been in a veteran cemetery, it's different than a civilian cemetery. There's something very majestic. There's something very I'm looking for a specific word, but it's a different feel.
I would almost use the word presence.
I was going to say SIM card.
It's not perfect.
SIM card?
Oh, for fuck's sake, Jim.
It's a different kind of SIM card at a veteran cemetery. But got to get one more shot in for tonight's up, you know? So, I went over there, and still to this day, my mom-in-law has been departed coming up next month for 12 years. Doesn't seem like it, and it's never gotten easier going over there. As a matter of fact, it gets tougher every time, to be quite honest with you, and she was such a special lady. And so I get over there, and it seemed to be there was more stuff going on than usual when I pay her a visit. Nevertheless, I drive all the way around to where she's at, and lo and behold, probably 10 feet from her, they had a bobcat and a mound of dirt and a hole and a casket, and it just brought everything back. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I maintained. I got flowers trimmed up, and I put them in the cup, and I took my bottle of water, and I, you know, cleaned off Mom's headstone and everything, talked to her the whole time I was doing it. You know, asked for the blessings, crossed off, and jumped in the truck. And it's amazing. All this stuff was going on in the cemetery, and I was totally oblivious to any of it going on. And I was only there for like 5 minutes. So when I pull around to head out of the cemetery, they had everything roped off. And there was about 24 Marines in dress blues. So obviously there was fixing to be some type of service for somebody very important to have the honor guard and all that personnel there. And there I am in my truck going, there's only one way for me to get out of here, and it's through these guys. And obviously they're getting ready to do something. And by God, man, it's tough to say. These young gentlemen stepped off and let me by. And as I rolled by, I lowered my window and I said, gentlemen, thank you, Semper Fi. And they all saluted. And here I am, a civilian. You know what I mean? For people that are connected with the military, for folks that aren't connected with the military, they don't realize what that means. They don't realize the impact that that has. And these young gentlemen saluted me as I slowly drove by. And two of the folks that worked there at the cemetery were kind enough to kind of wave me to a certain route to where I wasn't going to get caught up in anything. And they guided me out of the cemetery because, you know, my mind was already in a fog from being there with Mom. And, you know, of course, seeing that casket, you know, 10 feet from Mom's plot. And, you know, and for those young men to salute me and for those guys there working, guiding me out of there when my mind wasn't totally focused, it shows the amount of class. It shows the amount of dedication. And it shows the way it should be done. Everybody involved in that spirit experience did what they should have done. And it gives me a good feeling. It gives me hope. And knowing that there's still people out there that give a damn, still people out there to do things the way they're supposed to be done. And just wanted to tip my hat to all those guys who I'll never know who they are. But somehow or another, I hope that good things happen for them because, you know, they definitely helped me out yesterday when I was not at my strongest. So tip of the hat to them and wish them nothing but the best.
I'm going to jump on that real quick because there's I saw this brief video coming out, and I don't know if it was part of the and I'm going to guess it's part of the silent drill team detail somewhere, Marine Corps silent drill team. It could have given the quality of the bus and where the Marine Corps funding is with that kind of stuff. I'm thinking of the buses we had when we were doing details for funerals. It was at that level where they came in their blues and pushed a woman and people in their vehicle out of being caught in a flooded area. And they were just walking through flood water to go ahead and push her out. that was just that's the kind of thing. I don't know how much that's getting, like, I watch general news feeds. I didn't see it anywhere on that. But lo and behold, I've seen where the lieutenant colonel that questioned leadership was jailed in the regular news feed. So you'll hear that about the Marine Corps, but you won't. You know, that's the kind of thing that won't make the public. And it's not just Marine Corps. It's just all walks of life everywhere.
Yeah, people doing
like
good things don't make
focus
the news.
On.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, if it don't bleed, it don't lead. It's like that, and I think we need to, in our own little worlds, kind of see those things. And like those old Brett commercials, you tell two friends, I'll tell two friends, and so on. We kind of need to do that stuff.
Yeah.
We need to lead by example. Just saying. Just saying.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And it's, and there's nothing wrong with having class. There's nothing wrong with doing the good things. You might not get a couple, you might not get a viral video loading up somebody's groceries in the back of their car for them to help them out. But who cares? I would rather be anonymously kind than famously evil any given day of the week. We need to write that down. All of a sudden, I just made a quote. But, yeah, most definitely. And that's just it. Keep classy, folks. It ain't hard to do. It only takes a second to do the right thing. So with all that being said, I'm fixing to enter At Will Manor, cue in the salty British lady. And, again, folks, if you'd like to contact us, popculturestars@outlook.com, give us an email. Tell us hi. Or
yeah,
bust my chop for saying more better in a broadcast.
I think
it's all
good. Got everybody just to send like a quick, you know, just so we can kind of gauge how far it's going and who, you know, where people are at. It doesn't even have to be anything. Just hit us up in like a word or a sentence, you know?
Yeah, just say, hey, what's up? And, you know, you never can tell. We might respond. You don't want me responding, of course, because I can't put together sentences tonight. But nevertheless, yeah.
Says the published author. That was awesome.
That was pretty beautiful, wasn't it? I'm going to wear that like a badge, baby. That was worse than a double superlative right there. That was pretty devastating, but I'll blame it on the
past. That was, well, right back to humbling, brother. That was hilarious.
So, with all that behind us, guys, thank you again for this evening, as always. And thank you, folks, for listening to us out there. Oh, Mika, you want to join in? You want to say hi, Mika? Say hello. Okay, there's Mika the Hound Dog saying hello. Hoping everybody out there has a great week. Stay safe. Keep your eyes open. And try to do some good things for folks. It doesn't hurt a bit. And we appreciate you listening to us ramble on here at Pop Culture Stars. You guys have a great week.
You're here. Night all.
And
Big hugs.
Lady. British lady don't want to come up. Okay, there's British lady. Here she is.